This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, it is. 800-919-3776. An hour until Knicks and the Timberwolves on 98.7 ESPN on Twitter. At Chris Carlin on Instagram. That guy Carlin. Go follow over there. And, of course, the video live stream of the show available at 98.7 ESPN New York's Twitter feed and ESPN New York's Facebook page. Francisco Lindor is out of his ever-loving mind. I cannot get over the fact for the last few days we have the knowledge that Francisco Lindor wants $385 million for 12 years as opposed to taking $325 million for 10 years. Well, I have heard this a lot, the reaction of this the last few days, and frankly, I'm befuddled by it. The notion that the Mets somehow would have an absolute mess on their hands if they don't sign Francisco Lindor? That's absurd right now. That is absurd. All of this pressure has got to be on Lindor to sign it, and he is, well, he's doing something very, very stupid right now. Don't believe me? Listen to Jeff Passan.
Francisco Lindor does not have the numbers to back up a contract for 50 or 60 or however many million more he wants than 325. And if this is a negotiating ploy by him, boy, he is playing a risky game right now.
Yeah, he is playing a major risky game right now. And when Jeff Passan says he does not have the numbers to be trying to get $60 more million to try to pass Mookie Betts as the highest paid player in the game, he's 100% right, guys. Look, he's a shortstop. I get it. But there are a lot of factors at work here that Francisco Lindor is not taking into account. And it's very, very frankly silly and stupid on his part to ask for more money. Let's talk numbers, first of all. When you talk about Mookie Betts and his career numbers, they're outstanding. You talk about Lindor and his career numbers, they're outstanding. But there's a big difference between the two. And that big difference comes in the clutch, when the game is on the line. Francisco Lindor, runners in scoring position for his career, 257, OPS 747. Runners in scoring position, two out, 211, OPS 603. Leighton Close, 280, OPS 857. High leverage, an OPS of 783. Mookie Betts in all of those situations is over 900, if not over 1 in OPS, in all of those clutch situations. Francisco Lindor's sense of what he is right now is absurd. He is a star player in the game. The Mets did a very good thing by going out and trading for him. But if he's going to try to pin the Mets as a cheap organization, son, you just got here, okay? We saw a cheap organization before. This is new ownership, and new ownership never should be classified like the old ownership was. And that's already through $325 million in one offer. Okay, you want to go into the season, play it out? How do you think that's going to go? When by hopefully mid to late summer, we have all of the fans in the stands or close to it, and things are not going well for Lindor. Let's say he's slumping. Let's say, God forbid, he has a season like last year. The Met fans, for him turning down that kind of number, will be all over him. And they should be. This is unmitigated gall on his part. And if you want to really roll the dice here, Francisco, let's look at two things. Let's look at a remarkably unstable situation between players and owners at the moment. You have no idea what that labor stoppage is going to look like next year, except for the fact that there's going to be a labor stoppage. And you could come out on the other end losing $150 million without blinking if the entire landscape of baseball looks completely different. Did I say that? I didn't. You know who did? Buster Olney. $150 to $180 million he could lose out on if he doesn't sign this deal. Everyone around baseball, when polled about it, agents even around baseball, saying he should sign the deal. The only person who's not saying he should sign the deal is Francisco, his agent, and Pete Alonso, who thinks he's worth $400 million. It's not about what you're worth. It's not about what you can get in this instance. It's about reading the room. 10 million Americans lost their jobs through the end of 2020 because of the pandemic. How do you think fans who are in that building spending the money to go see you are going to react if things don't go well? You have not played a day in New York City. Not a day. Soft as a pillow in Cleveland. You know what the problem is in Cleveland? They don't care about baseball. And you might have thought that being in the big leagues was pressure. No, no, no. You don't know pressure until you're here. You really don't. And this town is for some guys, and it's not for others. And I love Lindor as a player. I think he'll do well here. But you're going to put all of that on the line. And by the way, if you actually got to next offseason and you were going to go ahead and try to hit free agency, there are four or five other shortstops that could be and free agency that are of very close value as Francisco Lindor. Four or five other guys, premier guys, at shortstop. It's one thing to be competitive with those guys. It's another thing to be stupid and hit the open market when they all do at the same time. That drives everybody's value down. It's not like a quarterback. Okay? It's not like shortstops don't hit the open market all the time. And now it's going to happen all at once with potentially a drastically different financial landscape for the game. A game which has major problems. And you're turning this down over $60 million. Francisco Lindor has no idea what he will be in for if he doesn't get a deal done here. Yeah, look, if he plays poorly and took a deal, of course he's going to get booed. It's part of the gig. But at least he'll have his money. It's going to be a lot more galling to fans. It's going to anger them a whole lot more if he turns down that money and then doesn't play well at all this year. I know what happened last year, and I'm willing to wipe away 2020 for the majority of players across the game, good and bad. It's only a 60-game sample. Just take the money. Whoever is advising you doesn't know what the hell they're talking about. Or if this is just you, you don't know what you're talking about. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. It's Carlin. We have an hour. Let's get to it. We start with Corey on the car phone tonight. Corey, what's going on, dude? How are you?
Hi, Carlin. Thanks for taking the call.
Yes, sir.
There's no doubt that this offer for Lindor is fair. But I can understand Lindor saying, hey, you guys went after Springer. You're a billionaire owner. You went after Bauer. You didn't get him. Send some of that money that you didn't spend my way.
Some of that money, $325 million. He's not getting offered $175.
No, it's a fair offer. What you're saying, I 100% agree. He's turning down a completely fair offer, exactly what he's worth. But he's saying that he wants a kicker. And it's clear that he's saying, and he's like, you know, I've heard that Cohen's got the money. I've heard, you know, you went after Bauer, you didn't get him. You went after Springer, you didn't get him. Real Muto.
And now he's willing. Like, what you're talking about with, like, Springer and Bauer, you know, you, in essence, already are offering more to Lindor than both of them combined, and thanks for the call. You're already offering him more than that, because Springer got, what, 150, and Bauer took, what, 3 for 102 or something bizarre like that? Yeah, I mean, you're already past that with what you're offering Lindor himself. And if you think fans are angry when you get money and you don't perform, wait until you see what it's like when you turn down that money in this climate and you don't perform. They will run your ass out of town. Pierre in New Jersey is next, 98.7 ESPN. Pierre, what's going on?
Hello?
Yo, Pierre.
Hello?
That's you, bud. John Bayport. John, what do you got?
Chris, to further this conversation, the people Francisco are talking to are out of their minds for the simple fact that what does the season have to look like coming up for them to improve this offer by $60 million? I just don't think it's there realistically. What is
And why is it so important for Lindor to get paid more than Betts when, let's call it what it is, Mookie Betts is a better player?
Totally better player. His numbers in the clutch, obviously, he's a better player. And that's, you're not getting that season out of Lindor next year.
Listen, you may get a great year from Lindor, and he's betting on himself, and that's fine. If he goes and puts up the big numbers and justifies where he should get $400 million, that's great too. What he's not really factoring in enough is that this bird in the hand is a freaking ostrich. You know, this is not taking $5 million when you could make $50 next year. You don't know what it's going to look like financially for baseball next year. Your contract may be a major outlier this time, 365 days from now, or, God forbid, 2 years from now when they come back from a major work stoppage. All right, John, good talk. We'll see you out there. Sam, San Antonio is up next. Sam, it's been a minute. What's up, brother?
What's going on, my brother? How you doing? I hope all is well, my friend.
All good. You?
Just wanted to... can't complain, brother. Can't complain. Well, actually, it's almost April here in Texas, so the 9,500 degrees is just about to start. and I hear it's nice over there as well. So if you want to burn some pounds just sitting in the sun, come here in July, brother. The point that I was going to make is just about Lindor. Honestly, I, as a diehard Met fan, I have no problem with him asking for more. That's not my point. Honestly, if I was the brass, I would not have even given him that big of an offer for exactly everything that you just broke down. Supply and demand. Next year, there's so many more coming back. There's so many elite shortstops. Yes, to me, I think he's the best one. But the drop-off from him to Story is not that significant of a drop-off. This is the first time in how long the Mets actually have the pockets to pretty much guarantee that they'll get one of those guys. So with the work stoppage coming, no one knows what's going to happen with baseball in general. Honestly, I wouldn't have even offered him that big of a deal. I think he's going to take it. This is all just theatrics. He would be.
I mean, I hope it's just that theatrics between him and Steve Cohen. I think it's to draw more attention to it.
But theatrics, man.
But again, even if it is theatrics, isn't it, you know, just tone deaf theatrics? You know, let's create some drama over him, whether or not he's going to accept $325 million to stay.
Oh, it's absolutely foolish for him to look to get an extra $60 million. He's potentially risking $325. That Matt and then Michael Cade the other day, which also is a very true point. That extra $60 million is netting you what, $30? So for an extra $30, you're risking $325. You would be an absolute buffoon if you said no to that. If he does, I think we just need to give him like a brain test because something ain't right up there then.
Sam, appreciate you checking in, man. Thanks for the call. It's one of those things here where it may be wanting to do the right thing by the union, but the union doesn't know what the hell they're doing right now. I want to go to one of the comments on the video feed at 98.7 ESPN New York's Twitter handle. This one from Mills. Wonder how much he might be wanting to set a precedent here. He is a big guy for the union. Mills, here's the problem with it, okay? The union is really delusional about their situation with ownership moving forward. Both sides are dead wrong. Don't get me wrong. I am 97% of the time a player's guy. I will side with them to get as much as they can when they can get it. This is as much as he can get when he can get it. And you cannot guarantee that this money is going to be there next year. And if he's doing this to set a precedent with the union, that's a mistake. And I would tell Tony Clark to pucker up if he got mad at me for taking $325 for 10 years. I really would, because that has nothing to do with anything right now. The union is going to get it handed to them, as they always do, as they did, not always, but as they did last time, and they're going to again. You know, they had the hammer on baseball for the longest time. And then Tony Clark this last time made a bad deal. So now you have him in charge with so much pressure to not screw up this deal again and look bad that he's going to go to the nth degree to salvage his reputation. That's nothing good for the union at all. Not in the least. James is in Spring Valley next on 98.7 ESPN. James, what's going on?
Carlin, what's going on, my friend?
Not a lot.
Now, obviously Mets fans are being upset about Lindor, but they can deal with that later. I want to talk about the Yankees. Now, obviously, this is an important season. I still think they're the best team in the American League. But I want to talk about, like, what's going to be, like, who's going to be, like, the X factor? Like, what's going to be the biggest reason why the Yankees are going to be successful? Like, who's someone that we're not paying attention to that we should start paying attention to?
Jameson Taillon. I think you're paying attention to him. But the biggest reason the Yankees are going to be successful is if their rotation is actually representative. If Corey Kluber can win 15 games, if Jameson Taillon can win 15 games, if they can both go out there and make 28 starts, 30 starts, it's going to be a huge, huge boost for the Yankees. Because let's call it what it is with those two. It's a crapshoot. You honestly don't know what you're going to get here. You've got two guys who basically haven't pitched over the last 2 years.
That is true. That is true. Thanks, Carlin. Have a good night, man.
No problem. For me, that's all it boils down to for the Yankees. And I am not confident in that whatsoever. Not whatsoever. I've watched Kluber now a couple of times through the spring. And I've seen a couple of scouting reports here, and there is a lot of feelings about this is not anywhere near the Corey Kluber that we used to see, and not with velocity, with command, with really controlling the strike zone, with being able to put the ball wherever he wants. You watch him the other day. Listen, I know it's a spring. I'm not going to make a big deal yet, but toward the end of the spring, you want to be able to put the baseball where you need to. So he's pitching day two. We'll see. If the Yankees are to get to where they're supposed to get to this year, I can't even talk about winning the division because they're just going to clobber teams to death, even when they're not healthy enough. But if the Yankees are going to get to where they need to get to, it's going to be because those two guys are pitching at an exceptionally high level. Buddha in the Bronx. Buddha, what's up, baby?
What's going on, Cat Daddy?
Let me tell you something. You know what my wife said to me yesterday? Did Buddha call you last night? And I said, no. My wife loves it when you call in.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
She's a smart lady.
Well, I mean, I'm a little concerned about it, but you understand.
Nothing like that.
What do you got?
Listen, you know, on the micro and on the macro level, first on the micro level with the Lindor, and listen, the player greedy, of course he is. Is he trying to squeeze the team for every dime he can get? Of course he is. But on the macro level, and this is something that fans, you know, that we don't like to deal with, but let's be upfront and honest with ourselves. There's no way you should be paid millions of dollars to dribble a basketball, to pitch, to hit. It's our fault as fans. We watch it. The market is what it is, and this is where it was going. I mean, my mother was a retired principal. You know what she maxed out on her last year? It was like $145,000. She's shaping lives, keeping people's kids safe, making sure they're educated. But some guy, you know, who can jump high or who can run fast or who can pitch really well makes 25 times her salary. Doesn't make any sense to me, but this is the world we live in.
Yeah, and look, it's one thing to squeeze for as much as you can, okay? But when we're talking about north of $300 million on a 10-year contract, the length is going to bother people just as much as the amount. We're into the absurd level. We really have gone above and beyond at that point. I mean, that's right. Ludicrous speed, ago, to put it in Spaceballs terms. Million. Again?
When Magic got $5 million a year.
Oh, and that was a huge deal.
He was all over every magazine. I mean, listen, 300, I mean, I know times have changed, but $300 million is a lot of money relative to any era. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah, really listen, is. Buddha.
These guys are, listen, they're making us all out to be fools, let's be honest.
Yeah, I can remember in, 87, 88, thanks to the call, when Mattingly got $2 million, and that was a big deal. I think he might have been highest paid at the time. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Some of the responses on Lindor, not knowing what he's in for if he doesn't sign. Lincoln Bio checking in. Fans aren't going to turn on him just for that. He's still here. He's got a whole season of being here. He set a deadline. He never said he wouldn't re-sign here. The other 2 points are valid. He's talking about the saturated shortstop market next year and potentially an entirely new financial landscape in Major League Baseball. No, he didn't say he wouldn't re-sign here, but it's not like the Mets are going cheap here. This isn't Wilponville. That's over. It's over. $325 million is more than a fair offer. More than fair. Myron Susek, wrong. A disaster for the Mets. Sign Lindor at his price. He will be this generation's Mr. Met. Sign him at his price. All right, here's $385. Go nuts. No, absolutely not. 12 years and $385. Myron, if you're 4 years into that deal and you can't get anything cooking, and that guy's all of a sudden seen it turn the other way at age 32, and you're stuck with another 8 years of it, talk to me then, okay? Stop. 800-919-3776. More tweets. Let's see here. At here on in, 75. He's betting on himself. It's all about confidence and ego. Yeah, ego's getting in the way there if you feel like you have to be the number one paid player above Mookie Betts. That's just silly. Mookie Betts is better than Francisco Lindor. And don't talk to me about playing shortstop. Go look at the career clutch numbers. Not even close. And I fear we may get a good helping of that this year. Look, Lindor's a terrific player, but he hasn't played one game at Citi Field yet. GG Hill checking in on Twitter. I think he'd be better advised to sign now, but I don't think your reason number one flies. The fans boo. Who the fans boo? They'd be just as angry if he signed and didn't perform, wouldn't they? Maybe even angrier, saying he was overpaid and now the Mets are limited in who they can sign. I think in this day and age, what we've seen happen in this country financially, fans would be angry that somebody had the gall to turn down that money and then go out there and actually not play well and get absolutely destroyed for it. If I was a fan, I'd be a lot angrier at somebody that did that, that turned down all that money and then didn't play well. All right, dude, get out. See ya. And he will get destroyed this season by the Met fans if that happens. And look, the best thing that can happen is that he doesn't have a full house. But trust me, the 10,000 or whatever the number is that can go to Citi Field will be there, and they will be loud if he is not playing well. Glenn is in Brooklyn. He's up next on 98.7 ESPN. Glenn, what's cooking with you tonight, brother?
Colin, what's up, my main man? How's it going, man?
Good. You?
Everybody's forgetting what's tomorrow.
Don't say it.
April Fool's Day.
It's like the worst day of the year.
Exactly. But the Mets owner is the type of guy, he would do something like this just because it's April Fool's Day.
No, I don't think he would. No, I don't think he would. I really don't. Listen, if they're trying to build up hype for it, I mean, that's just silly. That's just absolutely silly on their part.
Remember, they're still the Mets, though. Even though you have a different owner.
No, you can't say that. You can't say they're still the Mets when there was one common denominator in a lot of things that went wrong. You can't. You can't do it.
Listen, I'm a Yankee fan. But the Mets will be the Mets, just like even though.
Yeah, well, that's where it comes from. Glenn, see you later. Goodbye. You're out. See ya. Goodbye. You're a Yankee fan. Oh, the Mets are just going to be the Mets. No. That's typical Yankee fan looking down on the Mets. You know, that's just the way it is. I need to clench. No way to better do it. And with Richard in Manhattan, Richard.
Chris, does it make sense that the women's NCAA tournament is the same time exactly as the men's? Does that make sense to you?
Is it? I don't think it is.
Yeah, they're playing concomitantly.
No, the women are playing on the 2nd, which is what? The 2nd is Friday.
Yeah, I know. Couldn't they wait a week? I mean, why do they have to play one after another? I mean,
they've always played like that. They've always done that. It's always been the men on Saturday, the women on Sunday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, it's always been that way.
It was a week in between, no?
No.
Okay. All right, Chris, I'm going over the point spreads for the final two games. Now, when you consider Baylor was the second best team in the country, Houston a 2 seed, you figure they were a six best team. So you got the second best versus the 6th best. 5-point spreads, I don't know, that seems kind of high to me.
I would agree in that, Richard, when I saw that they were 5-point favorites, I kind of wanted to jump all over Houston, to tell you the truth.
Okay,
considering the level of defense that Houston plays.
Yeah, okay. Now, Gonzaga is the best team. UCLA was an 11 seed. Now, they took two 11 seeds ahead of them, so 42 teams were better. So, figure that UCLA was the 44th ranked team. So, you got a number one versus a number 44. Now, UCLA is playing well, but don't forget, Gonzaga is playing very well also. I don't know, 13.5 doesn't seem like a lot. One versus 44.
I saw 14.5, and that's not the way they're looking at it with this game. What they're looking at with this game, and I still think, I got to tell you, Richard, like I might take the points in that game. Not thinking that Gonzaga would ever lose the game, and thanks to the call. I think it's more likely that UCLA's defense, which has just been clamped down defense, may keep that game closer. It's possible. It's also possible they get run out of the building. I love the fact for Mick Cronin, who is in the Final Four, because Mick Cronin is the definition of a grinder as a coach and turned down many jobs for a long time to stay at Cincinnati before he finally got the UCLA job. A lot of people thought that was only a few people thought that was a bad fit, and it obviously was a dumb take because he is a terrific fit there. And whether or not they're playing wide open UCLA basketball doesn't matter. If they win, that's what matters. 800-919-3776. Lenny in New Jersey is next on 98.7 ESPN. Lenny, what's cooking?
How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
I'm a Yankee fan. I'm not going to turn on the Mets. I'm actually going to go with you and go with Colin and the Mets fans. $325 million is a lot. That puts them, what, moves, he'll be what, the highest paid position player and jump into the top five, correct?
Yes. He'll be up there. Mookie Betts got 12 for 365.
Yes.
So I think he'd get the highest average annual value, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. The team makes a trade to get you. They welcome you. They want to sort of make you the face. The Mets want to make this turn. New ownership. The fans are excited. You know, the whole – I don't want to get into the whole schmeal. You know, I don't want to bring what's going on in the world into it. You know, baseball players deserve to get paid, but $325 is nothing to sneeze at. It could be a strike, right? Could there be a baseball strike looming, possibly?
Absolutely.
Sure. You know what? You're going to become the face. You're going to make other money in New York. The opportunity is great. The team's going to be good. You know, you just can't pass it up. You know, if you don't want it, it gives you a deadline. Take it or leave it. You know what? Play the season. Get booed because the fans are going to get on him, especially if he slumps. You know they're going to get on him, especially if he don't fight. They're going to get on him. You know how they are in New York. Take it or leave it, buddy.
It could be an absolute disaster. An absolute disaster, and thanks for the call. It really could be. And I don't know that he or his representative fully appreciate that. Now, two things real quick. Highest average annual value is Trout at $36 million a year. Other position players at those numbers, Rendon's at 35, Arenado's at 33.4. The rest are pitchers, Verlander, Bauer, Greinke, Strasburg, Cole. So they would be in front of Lindor at average annual value. Lindor for 12 for 385. I'd have to do the math on that, but that's probably not going to be highest average annual value. Let's see, 385 divided by 12 equals, yeah, 32.08. So it wouldn't be. God, how could he scrape by? Angel Hernandez lost his discrimination suit against Major League Baseball, saying that he had alleged that he was not promoted to crew chief and working postseason games because he was Hispanic and that Joe Torre and company held that against him. The judge basically laughed in his face. This is the worst umpire in all of baseball. And in the judge's ruling, I have to read this to you because it's beautiful. In the judge's ruling, it says that Joe Torre rejected white crew chief candidates who had more seniority than the white umpires that he promoted. So listen, Joe's doing the right things. And the judge said in this sentence, how about this, or this two or three sentences, Hernandez's handful of cherry-picked examples does not reliably establish any systematic effort on MLB's part to artificially deflate his evaluations, much less an effort to do so in order to cover up discrimination, the judge added. The evidence shows beyond genuine dispute that an umpire's leadership and situation management carried the day in MLB's promotion decisions. The explicit reasons MLB offers that, according to Torre, Hernandez has not demonstrated the leadership ability and situation management skills in critical high-pressure roles on a consistent basis is presented in clear and specific terms. In other words, Angel, go pound sand. You know what's going to be great? You have this behind you. If Major League Baseball, after this season, fires Angel Hernandez, get rid of him. He's the worst. Remember, this is an umpire who ended a game on a bad call because he had a flight to catch. That happened. That happened. There is nobody more universally acknowledged and recognized as the worst at what they do than Angel Hernandez. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. Louie in Astoria. Louie, what's going on, man?
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Louie, I got to tell you, that story put a little pep in my step today.
I agree with you. That he's one of the reasons why they're bringing freaking their machine instead of them and behind the plate. Anyway, Lindor, let me tell you something. The Mets, I thought that when that trade came up, They made a big mistake because, as you know, the owner, when he came in, he promised the fans that in 5 years, he was going to have a championship team here. They want to compete every year. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. It's too late now, but I don't know who his advisor or who gave him the wrong ideas. But if I was the owner, I would have brought, okay, DJ LeMahieu, okay? I would have brought Didi Gregorius and Springers, and I would have correct almost half of the entire team, which defensively right now stinks. Your thought on that? And with less money and less year.
The one thing about LeMahieu that has... All right, well, listen, the one thing about LeMahieu that has always caught my attention in relation to the Mets is the Mets have had this feeling that they've had a really good third baseman to work with. And J.D. Davis is, he's a nice player, okay? But he's a guy without a position. You know, DJ LeMahieu's a fantastic third baseman defensively.
Yeah, he can fix every infield and any team. DJ doesn't get appreciated because he doesn't hit 500 home runs. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, Louie, I don't know if he's going to do that. Thanks for the call. The thing is that wherever he plays on the infield, third, second, or first, he does a superior job defensively. He does. And I never understood why the Mets didn't necessarily get in on that. By the way, George Springer's starting the season on the injured list. So that's not an ideal situation for Toronto either. I want to get to a couple of the comments up on the video stream. Those over at ESPN New York 98.7's Twitter handle and on ESPN New York's Facebook page. You can always check it out there. Finn Gregory, I honestly just don't know if Lindor really wants to be here. I had that feeling since the day we got him. I don't think that's true. I think he does want to be here. That is really going the extra mile to not be here, to turn down $385 million. Like, if I were Lindor and I didn't want to be a Met, my move would be, I'm not going to talk about a contract until I get to the end of the year. You know, I want to figure out exactly what's going to be right for me. That would have been the way to go if that was your thought process. I don't think he would have been open to a contract extension and then look silly by asking for $60 million more on top of $325. Brendan McCool checking in with a comment as well. Even Latrell Sprewell would say he can support his family on $325 million. As a side note, my soul nearly escaped my body when Richard's intro was played. See, that's part of the beauty of the Richard horn, the warning. It scares the hell out of people. It really does, because I can hit it and you have no idea that it's coming and you can just jump out of your seat. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to warn you that Richard is on the line, and if you need to step away for a moment, you need to hit the restroom, you need to do something, now is your time to do it. That's all. It's common courtesy on my part to you. Now, does it sound like the purge horn? Yes, it does. Maybe you should lock all your doors because we're hitting, you know, sundown. But I'm trying to help you out more than anything.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.